Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, welcome to the show, and you're stuck with Bowerly, I know. And anyway, welcome to it. Today has been kind of a weird show because typically afternoon drive topics don't get this, don't go down this road, but I do not adhere to convention. That should be pretty obvious to anybody who's listened over the past however many decades it has been. And yeah, I don't keep track of stuff like that. It's just, like I said yesterday, always looking forward. I don't look backward. So anyway, long story short, if you're just joining us, we've had a really interesting show because it came up at a certain news conference yesterday. And we're not talking about that situation today. Like I've told you, if you're sick of hearing about it, do you think I'm not sick of talking about it? But I am going to take something from that news conference yesterday, and this is what we've been doing, and make a talk show out of it. And the question is, are you religious? Are you spiritual? Are you an atheist? Are you agnostic? And what do you make of the theories advanced by, certain cable shows that really the aliens we are looking for are really you and me, that we are nothing more than aliens transplanted from somewhere else to planet Earth? And, you know, when you read stories in the Bible about Immaculate Conception, and then you read some of the UFO abductees' tales of being impregnated by aliens, is it conceivable, no pun intended, that Jesus might have been a human-alien hybrid? I know it's kind of weird to think about, but where are you on this whole God thing? Pretend you and I are having a few drinks, and you give me enough drinks because I'm Ubering home that I'm stupid enough to ask you the question, so what do you believe about this whole God thing? What would you tell me? 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930. Star 930 is a free call on your cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN is free from anywhere you might be listening online or wherever in the known universe. We will not accept calls from Pluto, which isn't even a planet anymore. It got gypped. Let's go to Tim in Allentown. Tim, you are on WBEN. So we're at that bar, and we start talking about stuff like this. What do you tell us?
Speaking of bars, I got a beer here. But thank you so much. And your call screener, he put me back on the line twice because I'm clumsy. Yeah. As far as being religious, no, because I learned through AANA before 6 years before my 69th year that religion is a brick-and-mortar organization run by flesh and blood, born and raised Catholic, but I'm a hopeful agnostic cynic. So explaining that end of it, I just like to put up a dichotomy, which I'd like to see the seculars versus the religious in the same room. As a born and raised Catholic, the Christian Bible told me that God created the heavens and the earth and the flora and the fauna and Adam and Eve in 6 days, and then he rested and did whatever on the seventh day. I'm sorry for saying he. What did God do before that? The other half of the dichotomy is, with the seculars and the Big Bang, who or what lit the fuse for the Big Bang?
Yeah, you know, and you raised two excellent points, which have really been at the crux, no pun intended, of our discussion today.
Yeah, well,
You know, what was the absolute beginning? Everything has to have a beginning. How is it possible or conceivable, at least to my little mind, how something could always have been?
How it happened.
And well, if you take the secular or scientific approach, what did cause the Big Bang and what existed before the Big Bang?
Right, but what did God do before God decided to create the heavens and the earth?
Sitting around watching Hee-Haw. I have no idea.
Yeah, so I guess for the rest of these folks that are getting all bent out of shape, like I say, I'm cynical from the human beings on this planet that are trying to tell me how things are from God and the earth. And I believe there was a guy named Jesus Christ, but the Jews don't believe he was the ultimate, you know, so the dichotomies and the Muslims and the Buddhists and everything else. But we're all talking to flesh and blood human beings down here.
Well,
trying to tell us what they believe and what should be and what did happen in the past.
Yeah, it's the biggest question of all of our existences, but you know, we get bogged down in Twitter wars and Facebook wars and, you know, what's the latest going on Shameless and The Handmaid's Show. I mean, what
I still don't have a personal computer. I got the phone in my hand, which I've been told every phone nowadays is a computer with a phone hookup.
This is true.
I don't know how to work it, but from my past experience, who knows?
Well, you know, but think about this. Just think about, and this is something I think that if you actually sit down and you ponder it, it will blow your mind as in the same way as what was the absolute beginning of everything, really. Think about the leaps in technology that have taken place in your lifetime, even if you are in your 20s, or even if you are a millennial or a Generation Y person. Think about what has happened. In my grandmother's lifetime, she went into this world with the news being spread literally in a small town in Germany called Gomeringen, by a town crier. When she died, it would have been possible to have a live video feed to her hometown in real time from her nursing home.
One last history time. My parents were born just before the Depression, so they were growing up, and they experienced World War II, which brought on jet technology, which brought on atomics, which brought on the Cold War, which brought on going to the moon, and all the things they saw. Those are people that really are part of the real generation. Nowadays, no, I get carried away. I understand where you're coming from, and I am so humble because I got my own problems, but I'm not sure where we come from. But I'm open, but I'm cynical about the Christian viewpoint and the Muslim viewpoint, and I'm willing to believe that the extraterrestrial origins is more from the secular. I only ask, who lit the Big Bang?
Which is an applicable question, even if you believe the alien origins theory. Because somewhere there had to be a beginning.
Yeah, I would think, didn't the Catholic Church just recently make a statement that, well, you know, extraterrestrial creations, beings might be part?
I believe there was a papal statement to that effect. I can go back and look it up, I suppose.
I believe so. Recently, one other thing about the church, it used to be if you weren't baptized before you died as a baby, you couldn't go into heaven because you weren't baptized. So that was the church run by the flesh and blood beings that were telling us. But they changed that within the last couple of years, 5 years, to some other thing between heaven and earth. In other words, the point is they were run by flesh and blood human beings.
All right, gotcha. Thank you very much for the call on WBEN. And this show is really about what you believe about the origins of all of us. Where we came from, where we're going. Are you religious? If so, in what way? Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist? What, none of the above? Zoroastrian? Freddie Mercury? I have no idea. And there is a school of thought out there that we are simply one of countless civilizations or one of countless planets which comprise, at least in part, intelligent, sentient beings. And a school of thought that the life on this planet that does exist exists because, well, it was colonized or seeded by one of these other civilizations. Of course, the problem with the whole alien travel theory has always been the reliance on Einstein's theory of relativity and notions as the speed of light being the fastest speed at which anything can travel. Although the space scientists lately, if you've been following the news, have uncovered a number of objects which defy physics that we know of. And they're having a hard time wrapping their heads around that because they are seeing things out there that shouldn't be happening according to our understanding of the laws of physics. And, you know, previously it was thought that in order for a civilization to reach out and touch another civilization in the interstellar world, that there would have to be a bending of matter, a wormhole, so to speak, to traverse such enormous distances. Maybe that isn't true. And maybe Einstein didn't have all of his ducks in a row. I don't know. This is beyond me. Let's go to Dennis in East Aurora. Dennis, you are on WBEN.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am living the dream. You've got quite a tale.
So I have some information on what I believe is the true nature of aliens and a lot of the abductees from firsthand experience that I've had.
Are you an abductee?
I was an attempted abductee.
All right. I don't think, by the way, I don't think you're crazy because in this life, one thing I learned the hard way is that truth can often be stranger than fiction. So you are not going to be judged as insane when you tell your story.
So what happened to me, I was living alone at the time and I had these different circumstances happen at my house. And to make a long story very short, I felt a presence in the house. The presence would move things around and do different things. And eventually I could even feel the presence like come onto the bed and different things. I didn't know what it was. I'm a Christian. You know, I believe in God. I didn't know if it was a ghost. I didn't know if it was a spirit. I had no idea. So this happened quite a bit, many, many times over the course of several years. And one time I woke up in the middle of the night and I could feel a presence in the room and I sensed that I was paralyzed. I could not move. And in the past, when I felt a presence in the room, being a Christian, I would call out in the name of Christ to be gone and the presence would leave. This time I could feel the presence in the room. It was the middle of the night. My eyes are wide open, but I could not move. I'm paralyzed. And then I soon became aware of three beings, two on one side and one on the other. And I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. I was terrified. And these beings looked very much like what you would call the gray aliens. And there was, again, two on one side, two on the other. They looked down on me with these big black eyes. I'll never forget the eyes, Tom. They were full of hatred for me, full of malice, and they were pure evil. And so in my mind, I'm panicking. In my body, I can't move. So what do? I couldn't even call out in the name of Christ because I couldn't speak. Well, then I put two and two together in my head. Well, God is God. I don't have to speak his name. He knows my very thoughts. So in my mind, I said, you know, in the name of Christ, be gone. And instantaneously, I could move. The beings were gone. And that was the end of it. So in my mind, these beings that by all physical aspects that, you know, you hear about would look like gray aliens, the only thing that they responded to was the name of Christ. and they had no power under the name of Christ. And they, again, instantaneously, I was unparalyzed. I could talk, I could move, and they were gone.
Now, much as I must do when we do a ghost show, I must ask you the question, are you sure this wasn't just one hell of a vivid and terrifying dream?
So, you know, and I've heard too in TV, like there's a physical malady where, you know, you're paralyzed and you can't move and
right.
You're trying to wake up. This is the only time in my life it ever happened to me. The only time. And I was fully awake. And it's hard to explain. You know, when you're fully awake, you know, you can bite your tongue, you feel the pain, you know, you're 100% awake.
I was fully awake once in 1981. Since then, it's been a challenge. Since this particular visitation by those gray bastard aliens, have they been back to your place at all?
No, they haven't. And since that time, I did move. They never came back. I never had any other instance of any other abnormal activity happen in the house.
So all inexplicable activity stopped once they physically came into contact with you and you telepathically told them in the name of Christ to be gone.
Correct. Correct. Never came back. I'm not.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A theologian, my theory, Tom, is that they knew they had no power. And if they came back, you know, I would just, under the name of Christ, because that's, I believe, where the power emanates from to, you know, control or rid anything of demonic activity, that I would just be able to do that again. And I think they thought they might have had me, too, because I was paralyzed. But, again, God knows our thoughts. We don't have to verbally, you know, talk to him. He knows the thoughts. We can talk to him in our head and our mind.
Understood. Hey, I got to move on. It's a very interesting story. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, the only other question I would have for you is why you, which you're more than welcome to hang around and to answer after the news if you would like, if you have a thought as to why you. I've spoken with UFO abductees before, a lady named Sky Ambrose out of St. Louis, and she's no longer with us, but her story was very compelling. Also spoke with Whitley Strieber a few times back in the 80s. Oh, good choice, Phil Kennedy. Not bad for a millennial. It's a music bump on News Radio 930 WBEN. And today we are doing a show that I've been dying to do for a long, long time in the way I've wanted to do it. If you're just joining us, The topic is three ways. Now, the topic, as in there are three ways to get home, and you chose the wrong one and you're stuck in the Niagara. But we're actually talking about, ironically, in a 180-degree twist, we're talking about, here's the scenario, all right? I'm out at a bar, there's a shock, drinking my club soda because I can't drink booze on the diet. So we're out at a bar after I lose the weight, and you ply me with Southern Comfort, and I get drunk and stupid enough because I'm not driving home to ask you the question, so where are you on this whole God question? Are you spiritual? And what does that even mean to you? Are you religious? Do you belong to a specific religion? And, I mean, for example, there are Orthodox and Reformed Jews. There are Messianic Jews, Christians, Roman Catholic, Episcopalian, Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist, and the list would go on and on. Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, there are, of course, obviously various Muslim sects. That's S-E-C-T-S. And so are you spiritual? Are you religious? Are you agnostic? Are you just an outright atheist? And what do you make of the theory that really we keep looking for aliens and we are the aliens, that humanity, all we really are is some experiment by an alien civilization or two? And that all those paintings from centuries ago and cave drawings from prehistory showing things in the sky that aren't natural, or men dressed up in space suits, what we think of as a space suit, that was just happenstance. There are ancient aliens. You can watch the show and you can think about the haircuts on the show as well. But some very bad haircuts. Not that I'm one to talk about hair choices. Anyway, the phone number is 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Dennis in East Aurora said he was the victim of an attempted alien abduction, which he thwarted by thinking the thought, "Be gone in the name of Jesus." Now, Dennis, I'm going to ask you the question, why you? Because I've never had an abductee adequately or have an answer for that question. Of all of the 6 billion people on this planet, why did those gray alien bastards come after you?
No, that's a good question, Tom. I would love to say I have a full answer on that. I don't. I can say that at the time I was alone in the house. So, you know, there was no other person with me in the house. So I don't know why it all started. I can say, in a weird way, I was having renovations done to the house, and that's when the activity started. And
usually that's associated with ghostly phenomena.
It does. And, you know, and Tom, I really thought that was the only part of it, you know, with this, like, I don't know, mischievous poltergeist or something, moving things around off the shelves. And then when I started feeling a presence in the bedroom, like something's crawling onto the bed, and that would happen many occasions, I knew that, you know, there was something more to it. And but the last instance where I was paralyzed and there was 3 gray aliens on either side of me, I believe that they were different. I don't believe that they were the same entity that was causing all these little mischievous things happening in my house and a presence.
Oh.
I think they were, like, you know, in my mind, I believe a lot of the alien abductee stories are true that you hear, that there is something, you know, to the whole UFO phenomenon. But I would put out there, we need to think, are they truly aliens from another planet, or are they demonic beings masquerading as aliens? In my case, you know, only through the power and the name of Christ was I able to repel them. You know, so in my mind, Tom, in my heart, in my beliefs, it actually increased my faith through this horrible crazy set of circumstances that happened to me.
Which is entirely understandable, because just thinking the name of Jesus was their kryptonite. I have one more question for you, and you know, I have no reason to disbelieve you, and one of my rules of life, learned the hard way, is that truth is indeed stranger than fiction in so many ways I can't even begin to get into. But you said they were looking at you with a great deal of hatred and malevolence. Were any thoughts telepathically communicated to you as to their intentions?
Only that they sought to do me harm. And all I can say is they were big black eyes full of pure evil and pure hatred towards me. And I do believe, apart from my calling on the name of Christ mentally when I was paralyzed, that I would have been an abductee, and who knows what would have happened. You know, and I believe a lot of people who are abductees, you know, are taken, you know, and some might recall, some don't recall. But I think it's happening much more frequently out there than we would care to believe.
Well, and, you know, who wants to tell that story? You start telling that story and you can have a spotless record in terms of mental health, in terms of your reputation and standing in the community. But the minute you say, hey, I know this might sound a little whacked out, but I'm pretty sure that I was abducted by aliens, suddenly you are considered to be mentally unhealthy.
Right. And that's the danger. You know, and I didn't tell people of this for a long time, but it is real. I'm a very scientific mind. I'm a scientifically minded person. So when this started happening to me, Tom, it's like, this can't be happening. This can't be real. This can't, you know, and when you go through all the scientific reasons why it could not be happening, but yet it was. And so, you know, you might find yourself someday on that side of things where you're saying, no, this is impossible, but it is happening to you. And then what are you going to do about it?
Been there, and it had nothing to do with aliens. I'm glad you called.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thank you very much. Here is Bill in Eden, who obviously is going to tell us that he is a Satanist.
Tom, I wanted to go with this angle. The universe has such an incredible amount of fine tuning in it that it points to an intelligent design. And to give you, like, in a certain different parts of this, if you consider the cosmological constant, now that's the strength of gravity in an empty vacuum of space, scientists thought once that was zero, but it's actually a constant that's fine-tuned to the 122nd power. So that's a decimal point with 121 zeros and then a one. And if you want to get any perspective of what that is, there are 10 to the 50 atoms in the planet Earth. There are 10 to the 80 number of atoms in the universe. And this is 10 to the 122, the number of ways the strength of gravity in space could have been different and prevented life from existing. And I know there's like an American physicist named Freeman Dyson who wrote, "The more I examine the universe, the more evidence I find that the universe, in some sense, must have known we were coming." Some other things that you have to consider for our Earth to be the way it is: we have to be at the end of a fine-tuned ice age cycle. We have to have an exactly middle-aged sun. You know, as you know, it's 93 million miles away from us. Just the fact that we're on this planet that's tilted, and we have a moon that goes around it that keeps the planet rotating in a regular way, just that is what gives us our summers with the heat and the winters with the snow that we have. You also need like an extreme climate stability. And coincidentally, if there's ever such a thing as a coincidence, one time I heard on radio an astrophysicist named Hugh Ross, who actually would talk with you and could actually address that last caller's points too. He wrote such things as improbable planet and why the universe is the way it is. And he was mentioning a lot of other different constants that you have to have that all line up. You need the gravitational force constant, just some ideas here, some samples. You need the strong and weak nuclear force constants, the electromagnetic force constant. You need the velocity of light, the electron to proton mass ratio, cosmic expansion rate. And Back in 1991, there were only 17 known features of this cosmic design, even for simple life, that were necessary. And as of 2011, there's like over 180 now, and that list is even growing.
Yeah, you have with greater specificity itemized what I generally outlined during the first hour of the show.
Yeah, I wanted to give it a little bit of that. And think of it this way. The cause of our universe made space, so it can't be anything that exists in space. And the cause of our universe made time, so it can't be a force that exists in time. So the cause of all existence would have to be existence itself, and that's kind of what we call God. So it kind of goes to that.
Well, I whether you look at it from the scientific, godless point of view or from the spiritual point of view, I have a real hard time wrapping the brain around the idea of the absolute beginning of something, like, for example, the universe.
That's because you and I are actually living in time. We don't know anything outside of time, personally, right?
Yeah, I mean, time as we know it, yeah, I mean, this is correct.
So then some other things that I thought of, I'm not going to like spout doctrine or anything, who wants to hear that, but just some general concepts that we would all kind of think about. If someone is going to come along and claim to speak for God, I would think that such a person would have to be pre-announced, so you'd know that he's coming or she's coming. That kind of person would have to do some kind of miracles, so that you know that there's the authenticity there. And nothing that person would do would be morally objectionable, something that would make you go, like, huh? Like, this guy is a slave owner, this guy bought, sold, traded slaves, this guy was a 50-some-year-old man that had, you know, relations with a 9-year-old girl or something. You'd have to think to yourself, do I believe that God would be talking to me from someone that did something like that?
Bill, let me just throw something at you. I mean, we all know that you are of the Catholic faith and a very staunch Catholic. Let me throw something at you after the traffic break and get your take on it and hopefully get to some other folks. Sometimes I wish this is going to sound really weird because this is actually a prime time to be on the radio. Sometimes I wish I was doing an all-night show. Where we could do this every single, not this exact topic, but stuff like it every single night, like George Norrie already does. All right, back to Bill in Eden. Bill, what if, just a what-if question for you, what if the Immaculate Conception was the result of alien fertilization of the Virgin Mary, and Jesus derived his superhuman powers by being a hybrid human and alien, and the resurrection was nothing more than the body and spirit and soul of that being, Jesus, being taken back to the spaceship after showing human beings how to live?
By Immaculate Conception, are you referring to how Jesus came about or how the Blessed Mother was formed in her mother's womb?
No, how Jesus came about within Mary.
Okay, I guess, because that's technically like the incarnation and stuff, but I don't know. That's kind of like a hypothetical there. I don't. I had like just a couple other things I wanted to mention, just in general too. But I don't really know how to address like a hypothetical quite like that.
I mean, because many abductees have reported experiments being performed upon them involving being basically impregnated by aliens. But I'll let you wrap it up as briefly as you can, please, Bill.
Okay. What I like to do is, like, let's just assume for the sake of the argument that the resurrection happened, that it's true. We all know that historically Jesus was in time. He died and people saw him afterwards. What I try to do is I go back, like, in years, year by year, or decades, centuries by centuries from this point back, and I think what church existed all the way from this point back in time, all the way back to the point of the resurrection. And on top of that, I think about, if you think of Christian churches, all of the Christian churches taught, for instance, that contraception was morally wrong until 1930. And then some of the other ones taught that it wasn't, that it was okay, but only one has persisted all the way through. If something is really claiming to teach something that's true, isn't something that's true something that doesn't change in its essence?
Keep going.
That's what kind of makes me, you know, I was, you know, born, baptized after I was born, into the Catholic faith. And I've also seen other converts that have come into the Catholic faith, like a Jimmy Akin or a Trent Horn or any other people.
Right.
And I just kind of hear what they're saying. And for
well, Bill, we've got you marked down firmly in the Catholic category. I've got other people who've been holding on for an eternity, or so it would seem in our measurement of time. Dale in Cheektowaga, I wish I could afford you more time. I'm just going to shut up and give you a minute to tell us where you're coming from on this. Dale in Cheektowaga.
Hello.
I just don't think this is going to work. Here's Ken in Cheektowaga. Ken, I've got about a minute.
Yeah, quickly. Yes, I'm a Catholic, lifelong Catholic. I firmly believe that the Catholic Church was founded by Jesus Christ. And I was interested in about what you were talking about, some of your prior people talking about, you know, how can you get a wrap around your mind, how did something start or never start? And they already touched on that already about how God is outside of time, and it's beyond our ability, because we live inside time, to understand that. And I just kind of wanted to share that thing.
Yeah, and I still can't wrap my feeble brain around the concept of absolute beginnings in terms of time. I wish I could have given you more time. I apologize for that very much. Thank you, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your great interest in our topic today. And as I've said a few times during the course of the show, you know, there are people on both the right and the left who think, well, talk radio needs to be all political all the time. And I just don't view this medium in the same way. I mean, this show covers, the humanities, breaking news, current events. And it'll cover stuff like this from time to time. But it's not Rush. It ain't Sean. They do a great job at what they do. I just do a different thing. That's it. So thanks to Phil Kennedy and 556 at News Radio 930 WBEN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.